Hey now, friends, this is Wednesday night, January the 13th, and it's 2010. And today, there is a global, there's going to be a global response to a disaster in Haiti. And, you know, tonight's subject kind of deals with this issue, and we look at the pictures today, and I've seen some of the live clips, and what a devastation. What an absolute devastation. Whether there's 50,000 dead or 100,000 dead, who knows for sure right now. But what needs to be done is everybody rushing down there to bring aid and bring rescue. This is, it's devastating to watch. It's devastating to watch, the individuals who are crying, the individuals who are half stuck under buildings and trying to get out, to see little kids crying in the middle of the street. Have you seen the devastation of Haiti? This is incredible. We have friends that have been down there as missionaries. My daughter has inquired about going to Haiti this summer on a missions trip. And, you know, we've heard a lot of stories, and we know that there's been a lot of things about Haiti and voodoo and all kinds of other things. Setting that aside, we now just simply see massive human, pain and hurt and suffering and death. Across the board, you look at those houses, you look at those buildings, you look at those streets, and it is a massive, massive and incredible thing. It wasn't a bomb. It wasn't a coup. It wasn't the Black Awakening. It wasn't the end of days rise of Antichrist yet. This is a earthquake. This is devastating. So I just encourage you tonight that as you hear about it and as you see some of the pictures of the people in Haiti, as you look at the faces of human beings, how could we not decide to do something? So pray about it. See what you can do to help. Every little bit can help bring water and food and tents and medical aid, and I know there's going to be a flood of Christian agencies going down in there to help. So I think it's very vital that we take the time to pray for Haiti and pray for the people there and seek to do what we can do. Maybe some listening right now are those who are able to get on down there. You already have, you know, kind of a missionary track, and others can simply bring just financial aid and help that way. So keep your eyes, on this. Keep your heart open. And remember, above everything else, this is about human need. Anybody who's a believer in Christ should be able to look at John's Gospel. Well, 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. That we're to love not just with words, but also in deeds. And if we really have the love of God, it's about deeds. And so I think that we need to pray for the believers that are down there, that they can be praying, that they can see the hand of God move in. And we need to see the compassion of believers everywhere in every way for these, thousands upon thousands. And they believe that up to 3 million will be affected, if not more. And so I'm not sure. I'm looking at some of the pictures now. And some say that, statements like bodies piled up on the streets, you know, after the powerful Haiti quake. And taking a look at the buildings, taking a look at the faces of agony, the blood shed, even going to Yahoo, they show this slideshow of pictures. And it's pretty amazing that they're capturing pictures of human. I'm looking right now at a woman whose body is half under the rubble and half out. And she's looking right up at the camera guy, I guess, as he takes a picture of her as she's trying to get out of the rubble. Another individual there next to her helping, bloodied clothes. And, to look at that face is shocking. It is sad. And so I look at another picture here, and it shows thousands that are just absolutely stranded. I'm looking at another picture with people running in the streets and nothing but buildings that have been totally collapsed. I'm looking at another picture where a number of aid workers pulled this dear woman out of the rubble, and they are now moving her away. I'm looking at another picture of a woman whose face is cut, whose lips, eyes, forehead, blood. It's just, it's shocking. It really is. And it's human agony and human need. So I think, again, all the believers listening and everyone out there, let's put some prayers up for Haiti, for the people down there. Put up prayers for the believers to move that are down there. And do what you can. Find out how you can find legitimate aid agencies and those who can bring food, water, and all kinds of help, and even preach the gospel and share Christ. Because right now, they're in the midst of, death, bodies lying everywhere, and survivors. I'm looking at a picture right now with survivors on a truck, and again, it's a devastating thing to see. So let me just say tonight, as you're listening, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Shatterthedarkness.net on the web. I'm going to touch on Haiti again here in a moment because it does touch on the subject. The title or the topic for the week is The Human Spirit, Identity, and Indestructible Immortality. And this is the theme right now for Haiti. I mean, this is a theme where there are those near death, there are those in pain dying, there are those under buildings that might be alive, that may be saved. There are thousands and thousands of dead bodies everywhere. There are people looking for help. I see a little schoolgirl in her little school dress and outfit crying and pulling on the arm of another schoolgirl who looks dead in the street. And so when we think of the human spirit, identity, indestructible immortality, this is not a time for counterfeit fake spirituality, all kinds of guru junk about life and death. This is about now the author of eternal life. This is about the one who actually did die and rise from the dead and conquer death. Because we're going to talk about four things in the body of the message tonight. The fear of death, number one. Number two, the existence of death. Number three, death as an enemy. Number four, the cross and death. And then number five, we're going to get into indestructible immortality. Obviously, that in this world, fallen and broken, dark, radical, demonic presence, well, the wages of sin that has brought death, we see here a massive tragedy and death. Maybe you've experienced this in family members dying, friends that have died. Obviously, we probably most all of us have been to a funeral. As a pastor for 30 years in churches, I've been there many, many times to stand before a casket and speak about a person's life, and talk about life and death and God and eternity. It really does matter when it comes to this time. People can be arrogant. People can be humanists. People can be, atheists and all those kind of things. But when it really does come down to death, where is the answer? Whether it's natural death, 90 years old, something like that, or in some kind of catastrophic event. Now, in the stations that you've been listening to, and those who understand biblical prophecy, you understand that a great chaos is coming. When I look at the pictures of Haiti, I see that as a part of a future anarchy throughout the Western world. United States, Canada, England, Europe, Australia, all around. I see a plotted and planned massive destruction, and there's going to be dead bodies, and there's going to be destruction, and there's going to be what we see here in these pictures, but far more extensive. That will kick off the reign and rise of Antichrist. That reign and rise of Satan in human skin will be the manifestation of the greatest satanic presence and power manifested in all of human history, which includes the greatest seduction of the world, which includes the greatest destruction. After you get to about 3.5-4 years into the Great Tribulation time. It's called the Hathalipsis Haimagali, the Tribulation. And when you look into this Great Tribulation, and you can read about it in Revelation 9, you find out with all of the different things that God shows of actual future human history. This is the only accurate record. It's not coming from remote viewers. It's not coming from psychics. This is not from Nostradamus. This is by the infinite, uncreated Spirit of God. Consistent from Daniel to Matthew to Thessalonians to Revelation. But Revelation 9 shows one-third of the human race gone, dead. That's something that is part of the issue of the fear of death. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. We're only about 12 or 13 minutes into tonight's show. I want to say again, if you're brand new to us, this is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. I want you to know that on that site there are many, many MP3s. That is one-hour teaching sessions and interviews and all kinds of subjects. And you can get a hold of that. I'm looking at the site right now, and a lot of those older sessions are things like the VTech shooters and the coming Black Awakening, basics in spiritual warfare, satanic holidays, deadly rituals and the secret working, psychotronic warfare, countermeasures, why the finite can never become the infinite. There are messages on dark secrets, dark rituals, healing sexual abuse, providence and the powers. There's one that's called The Sequence of the Fallen Cherub. Footprints of the Dark Gods. Soldiers Don't Say Suicide. Lucifer's New Age Christ. And more of those are all through there. But we also have courses that we've been putting out that we used to teach here locally all over. And one of those courses is Confronting the Powers. And that course is now listed up on that site free. All you got to do is click on it, and you can begin to download the MP3s, the teaching sessions. It's no different than if you were in the course here locally, and there's outline notes that go with it and so forth. So that's up for you, and we're talking tonight with the subject being spirit, soul, and body, and what leaves when you die. Spirits. See, this is Wednesday. I've already had this up for days. And so tonight's title of this entire topic, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and What Leaves When You Die. Now, it is kind of a, well, to me, a providential thing, in a sad way, that we're talking about the concept of death and what leaves when we die. Obviously, the world is smacked in the face with the pictures of this massive devastation in Haiti. And I'm sitting here talking, looking at more pictures and more pictures, and there's live feed things. And again, it's just amazing to me that we can see so many of these incredible, pictures. I'm looking at a little baby right now that doctors are wrapping up and getting out. Looking at a man laying on the ground where looks like maybe a ball field and the entire thing is collapsed, a marketplace, a dog running by. In the mix of all of this, a dear lady running in the street, she's got her baby, she's holding her baby. So, man, we've got to get some help down there. We've got to put some prayers up, and we've got to find legitimate agencies that we can send some money through. So I need you can do that on your own. We'll be doing that on our own here. And I'm sure even at church Sunday, they will have aid issues right now. But we're thankful that the United States is responding to this, many other countries responding to this. But we need to be concerned. This is what it's all about. I see pictures where there's a massive, massive fire of a pouring off a building. I mean, it's just incredible. And nighttime could be even worse there. So listen, as you're thinking through all this, don't forget, during the show, ShatterTheDarkness.net is the website, but the email address, ShatterXmail@SBCGlobal.net. If you want to send a note to me during the show or a question, we're sometimes able to get into that. And we got somebody else today that had sent a note in, too. They want the newsletter, so We're sending out the newsletter this week, email-wise. If you want that free with all of the podcast stuff and new things, conferences coming up. We're doing a conference in Nashville the 24th and 25th in April. We're doing a conference or speaking at a conference in St. Louis, and it's called the First Christian Symposium on the Paranormal. This is in St. Louis in the beginning of April, and I should have that up on, well, it'll go out in the newsletter, I think tonight and tomorrow. We've been delayed because of my injury here, and I've been kind of really, really slow and behind. But we are about 95% doing good here tonight, and we want to get that up and put it on the main site also. So if you're interested in coming to conferences, there's going to be two in April that I'll be speaking at, and other speakers and conference leaders will be speaking at. And so we're looking forward to that, and we're going to tell you more about that as it's coming up. We were on the radio last night with Dr. Stan Monteith, and we have a link on the shatterthedarkness.net site to his site, and he's already put up that session that we had, along with some other good interviews that he's done with others also. So take a look at Dr. Stan Monteith's site also, and great interviews there, and we can link, well, you can link to it directly from our site if you don't know how to get there. 31 Days Ablaze, and it's all about prophetic writings. The prophetic writings are screaming. Biblical prophetic writings. Now, this is the most supernatural, well, because it's so accurate, where God has never failed. So if you're interested in what the future's about and prediction and prophecy, well, then we're giving 31 days of devotional 10 to 20 minute segments that you can listen to, and we'll have Wednesdays up sometime today, and then we will try to have them up ahead of time, but we've been behind the last 7 days with this half broken leg, so we're gonna see how quickly we can get everything up for you. Focus tonight, think about it tonight. The focus for me anyway would be the things that are happening in Haiti and what we can do. Now, our subject tonight, in the title of it that has already been presented, is about, you know, your spirit, your soul, your body, and what happens when you do die. Now, the reason we're going to ask that, listen, I've read again before where psychologists and psychology books will tell us that the fear of death is something most people think about. They think about death, but they don't want to talk about it. They really don't want to contemplate it. And seeing a dead body at a funeral sometimes moves us to, well, the last time I spoke at a funeral, and where we shared, it was packed out, a young man that had been killed. Many people loved him, and he came, and I was one of the speakers, and we gave an invitation for those who had never received Christ, who offers the gift of eternal life. Now, whatever you think, whatever your background is, listen, I know that there are those that are atheists and seekers and, you know, all kinds of folks that listen, soldiers and military. And again, we want to welcome everyone, even those who do the recon on the shows and those that send me the notes to tell me that they do that. We've seen some activity, some folks that have tried to harm some of our programs on Sunday night. And so we've put some people on it to take monitor now to see and track who has done some really, really bad things. And so you always got to be aware that there are those, for whatever reason, hate God, hate Christ, and are very vulgar concerning it. Now, I'm going to ask you tonight that you take a few moments concerning your life. And, you know, I don't know if you're a believer or not. Many of you are. Many of you that write me, tell me about your faith in Christ. And again, we try to get back to most everybody, but I'm just telling you that on a human scale, we're with hundreds of emails sitting there. I just can't. There's only one reason, not because I don't care, but because we, on a time basis, cannot. But we're trying to get to many, and we'll do the best we can. But listen, We pray during this hour, and I believe that it's a supernatural and providential hour, and you may be listening here now or the archives. I mean, thousands of you download the archives later on. And I just want to say about the archives is that, you know, God can be speaking to you, and what we've prayed for the show, we pray for those who listen to the archived show later, that God's grace, well, there's no bones about it. God's grace, God's love, God's power that can come to your life. There is a Savior. There is a healer. There is a deliverer. And there is an accurate word that comes from God. And I think it's time. Maybe some of you dust off the Bibles and get back to the Gospel of John. Check it out. And maybe some believer out there tonight, and that's what I feel in my spirit tonight, a believer that's, well, backslidden. You've been far from the Lord. You know, I've seen it sometimes on a church sign out front. If God seems far away, guess who moved? You know, it's not that God moves. It's that we do. You know, it's not that God shunned us and cut us off. It's that we shunned God and cut him off. And now as God seeks to invite and speak, this is God I'm talking about. God that wants us, God that seeks us, God that pursues us. And the God who is present right now. And there is a summoning and a message that comes from the heavens. And it's about God's grace and God's desire to have you know, come back into relationship, have all the issues of sin and death and hell and judgment and eternity taken care of. Because God has provided a way. And let me tell you something, you can look at a lot of alternatives. The New Age movement has nothing to say about the cross of Christ. They don't even have a concept. You can look at all the alternatives and all of the other kind of cults and workings and things out there. You will never see what is called in Scripture monogenesis. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, his one and only, monogenesis. This is the absolute one of a kind, only one God has given. And what is done at the cross has never been done anywhere, any place in all of fallen history. And only Jesus said, only he said, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believe in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's when he raised Lazarus from the dead. So in talking about death tonight and what happens when we die, in discussing Haiti and what has occurred there, I think it's fitting that, I think it's probably very, very, providential. So we got listeners in Haiti. We got listeners in 80 other countries from all the different programs that we do. I'm really not sure, you know, where this live broadcast, as far as where it is picked up. I can see on our servers where the downloads are, you know, by the thousands for the archives. But we're the live listeners. You, right now, right where you are, may God bless you. May God strengthen you. May God, listen, some of you are seeking revival. Some of you are seeking to grow. Some of you are seeking to find out what God wants you to do. And some of you are seekers looking for an answer, trying to find. But I'm going to say again, on my spirit, in my spirit tonight, there is one, well, someone out there very clearly, it's a depression that is based on your position in life right now. You know that you're away from the Lord, that you've ruined things. Literally, I believe the Spirit of God says you have ruined things in your own life. And as you've ruined these things, you're sitting in pain, you're sitting in hurt, and you're sitting distant from the Lord. I want to encourage you to go to Psalm 51. And I just believe that God will give Psalm 51 to somebody tonight. Hey, you can email me later on and let me know about it. ShatterXmail@sbcglobal.net. But I think for those that have slipped away, drifted away. See, in the book of Hebrews it says, see to it, brethren, that none of you have a sinful heart of unbelief that drifts away from the living God. That drifts away from the living God. And I think that's what we need to be, you know, thinking about tonight. Someone does anyway out there that has drifted away, and you've been entangled, you've been in maybe warfare, you've been whatever's gone on, you feel that you've ruined things. But I want you to know that Psalm 51 will speak about that. God can renew you. God can renew your strength. God can renew position. God can renew everything about your life. And the joy of the Lord can return into your life tonight. So let that be a word for someone out there that is right now probably tears running down your face. And you feel the Spirit of God speaking. Go ahead, embrace Jesus and just surrender to Him. Ask Him to fill your life and come back into that incredible relationship that you once knew. Don't let it be just a memory. Right now, let it be a reality. A reality. Psalm 51, what you can do. Tonight, spirit, soul, and body, what leaves when you die? Now, I don't know if that's been on the minds of the people of Haiti, but I have no question it's on the minds since just prior to the earthquakes and aftershocks and during and after and along the way, and even right now today. How could you not think about death and dying and where you go when there are dead bodies around the street floating in streams, you know, under buildings, and where there is nothing but life and death rescue going on? And so four issues tonight, a fifth that we're going to give a definitive answer concerning what can happen with absolute assurance that if you face death, no matter where it's at, what can happen. See, I've seen both those who have died that didn't have God inside of them or the gift of eternal life, and I've seen those who do. I've seen peace and God's presence and an expectation to see the face of God. I've also seen fear, horror, and a desire to escape death, but they couldn't. I've seen an arrogant man lie on a deathbed, arrogantly refusing any talk about God, arrogantly refusing any discussion about Jesus, arrogantly refusing any prayers, but with vulgarities telling us to shut up and get out. We prayed and went back the next day to try to speak to the man again. He was dead. He was gone. And I wonder what everybody listening right now thinks about at the moment of death what occurs, because it is an abnormality. It is something that was not meant. It is a ripping of the human spirit out of the physical human body, leaving the body behind only to rot, to liquefy, to go to dust. And is that all there is? I went to meet a guy in a coffee shop to do some ministry, and one of the fellows was there. We sat down. As we were waiting, two girls were there talking. They had been getting into New Age concepts, and I looked at the one lady, and I simply said, "Well, what happens when you do die?" And she kind of looked out into the air with kind of a gaze and said, well, with her hand in the air, kind of rolling around, she said, "Well, you go out there." And I said, where? She says, out there to the great beyond. And I said, what is the great beyond? I said, when you die, you just, she says, yeah, you go out. You go to the great beyond. And I said, what is the great beyond? She shrugged her shoulders. And I looked at her and I said, did you know you can absolutely know where you're going at the moment of death? That when you actually leave your physical body, you literally, I'm not talking about near-death experiences. I'm not talking about astral projection or remote viewing here. I'm talking about biblical thanatos, death. Death, when death actually comes. You see, we're talking about, thanatopia. It's a phobia, thanatos, with the word then phobia, the fear of death. Number one, Again, psychologists say that we fear it. Psychologists say that we don't like to talk about it. Children don't understand it. I've seen it over the years again and again where parents bring kids in to see grandfather or others that have passed away. The hardest has been those where a younger mother who had children looking at their mom. I watched a young lady one time weep so horribly strong over her father's death that she literally put her arms over the entire casket and embraced the casket and didn't want to let it go. Because there are so many things that occur when someone dies. Now, that's you. Now, one thing, it's you that dies and you, you leave your body. But you also leave behind those that have known you, those that will look at your physical body. I mean, there's concepts that we need to think through. If you're a believer in Christ, do you have anything planned for your funeral? Any kind of message, any kind of thing you want told to the crowd that comes and gathers around? Do you want to speak a message? If you're a believer, do you want to tell them? You know, I've said for 30 years at probably a couple of hundred funerals, almost every funeral I've ever spoken at, when I've looked at the crowd speaking about a believer who has died and gone to be at the Lord, I would say to the crowd that if God would allow for a moment this person to come back here or to appear here for a moment, what would they say to you? I don't believe anybody that goes to be at the Lord, goes to paradise, ever wants to come back. I don't see any biblical revelation because of the sheer love and peace and, literally being with God. We're going to talk about how real you are outside of your physical body in the presence of God. I mean, the reason for the fear of death is very, very clear. Number one, it was never meant for it to happen. But there is a relationship here concerning death. Death is the evidence of sin and the evidence of Satan's presence. Did you know that? I mean, if you look into the book of Romans, it talks about the wages of sin is death. God spoke in the beginning that if humanity listened to the fallen cherub, if we listened to the lie and believed the new spiritual alternative words and stream, you know, that stream about a evolution to deity and evolution with secret knowledge and special privilege, if we would chuck God and then accept the message and presence of the fallen cherub, God said, now, I'm going to tell you very clearly, in the Hebrew, he said, in dying, you shall die. God not only gave the human race one simple verse, one simple, statement, one protective shield, a word from God that would have preserved man's majesty, eternality. Listen, I'm telling you right now, we were immortal in the beginning. God said that if we depart, if we take hold of a lie and bring it into our lives, if we chuck God and go that direction, that, well, it would bring about death. Anybody studying the Hebrew is going to understand that the concept is, in dying you shall die. There's ecological death, psychological death. There's economic. There is mental, emotional. There is fragmentation in every single way. Spiritual death. And it leads to physical death. There is in the human race, since the fall of man, a death code. It's in our genes. It's abnormal. It's a part of us, but an abnormality. It is like a disease, but it is an operating thing. Humanly speaking, we've never been able to pin it down. Even though some geneticists have looked at genetics in the sense that it's genes that are not renewing any longer, and that ultimately leads to the decay, the deterioration, and then death. Something that is no longer, and they can't reverse it. They can't pin it down. And you can talk about human enhancements and living longer. And I listened to a guy last night from the University of Arizona on a talk show late night last night. And I've got his book, and I haven't read it yet. But he talks about human enhancements and living to be 150 years old. Well, we still have the issue. Because death involves this issue of sin, we open the door. Now, if you really want to understand this, go to Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 12. Take a look at what occurred. For by one man's sin, death entered the world. Again, the idea of an intrusion. From the outside in, death came. And it says that death passed upon all mankind. Why? Because all have sinned. However you look at it, it all comes down to us, and the wages of sin is death. And, you know, you can look at it, you can wonder about it, and you can say, if you're not a believer in Christ, in God, and you're saying, well, man, this is a big, heavy issue. Yes, death really is. We open the door to it. It is the wages of sin, but it is directly connected to Satan, who brought the temptation and seduced and pulled us over to that side. Let me give you again Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. And when you look at that, you're going to see very clearly that the eternal God stepped into humanity. He became one of us. Bible says simply, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in our humanity. So that by it, something would occur. That he would destroy the one that held the fear of death and the power of death over us. I mean, I think you should really study this. Because there is a spiritual reason why we die. Sin is a spiritual issue. It is a spiritual choice. It involves the chucking of God, the rejection of God, the throwing down of the word of God, and turning around and embracing another word and accepting a false god, a lie. And with that comes this aggravating, you can call it psychological, spiritual, mental, emotional aggravation of the fear of death. The guilt of sin, but the fear of death. So maybe tonight, somewhere, someplace, you're lying in a bed. Maybe somewhere, someplace, someone does have some kind of physical ailment where they're telling you you're going to die. The fact is, all of us have an ailment. We're all going to die. Whoever's listening tonight, there's going to be a time in all of our lives that we die. If we sit back and contemplate that for a few moments, once again, we look at our human bodies and wonder what will happen. Well, on a physiological, biological, I mean, we're going to, well, you can look at all the factors, you can study that all you want, but we harden, we then begin to liquefy, we then decay all the way down and eventually become dust. That is the physical body. See, at death, at the moment of real thanatos, this biblical death, you actually rip away from the physical body. Wasn't meant to be that way, but you do. Now, for those who do study the scriptures, go back to Ecclesiastes, if you want to, chapter 12, verse 7. A reference there. You can go to the book of James and read about when, you know, the spirit is gone, the body is dead. You can read about Stephen when he's dying. He, in the very last moments of his death, he cries out, into your hands. He commits his spirit, his very being, to God. The Bible talks about absent from the body, present with the Lord. The Apostle Paul talks about that it's far better to depart and be at the Lord, but he knew he needed to be here to do ministry. See, in this world that's fallen, even as a believer in Christ, the battlefields of the fallen world, the old flesh nature, and the devil are around us. And so, even though there's great joy, the power of God, the love of God, and we know God as a believer in Christ, we know that there's a struggle. The Bible speaks about it in the book of Philippians. The Bible speaks about it in Ephesians chapter 6, about our battles not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces. But right now, if you're here listening, or later on listening to this as an archive, somebody gave it to you, the concept of the fear of death doesn't make any difference. You can be as bold as you want. You can be as brazen as you want and say you don't fear death. But the question is, do you have any answer whatsoever to what happens when you do depart? Now, there are denialists, that's what I call them, that say that we just end. These are people that say they're scientists or physicists or, well, even philosophers that would declare that when you die, that's it. That's all there is. That's all she wrote. It's done. You're over. You don't exist any longer. You don't exist any longer. You know what I used to do years and years ago, 25 years ago, we had a major youth ministry in the area to hundreds of young people. We had weekly meetings where 20, 30, 40, 60, 70 of them would pack into a family room of a house and just, you know, we would share and we would, and probably one of the number one topics that we were engaged with along the way was death. Every year, for years, I've done this for years. And we do the topic of death and we have all this discussion about death and dying. We'd have all kinds of examples and just, you know, all kinds of things. And here's what I would do with all of them. I would say, let's all close our eyes. I did this year after year after year with hundreds of students. Close your eyes. Imagine that you don't exist, that you die and you're erased, that you don't even exist any longer. And I'm just going to tell you on an experiential level for all those years, no one could come to grips with that we don't exist. It seems as though every year, all of those students would say, well, no, somehow we know that we'll go on, we'll live on. We don't cease to exist. And I agree. Back in that same book, Ecclesiastes, it talks about this, that God has set eternity into our hearts, but we can't fathom what God has done from beginning to end. In a fallen world, though we should dream that we live forever, I think that's why a lot of alternative fake spiritual streams try to fix that fear of death, fix that element, they try to deal with that. Reincarnation tries that. We're going to nail that down in a big way Friday night, reincarnation versus glorification. But you can look at all these other three, you know, streams and themes and so forth, deism, humanism, atheism, existentialism, nihilism, all these areas and what the philosophers say and what the musicians and the poets say and the artists depict. But death and dying in Haiti, and for those looking at the pictures, obviously very real. In all of biblical revelation, it's going to tell us very clearly that we, in a fallen world, step out of our bodies permanently. That we depart. Back in Ecclesiastes, we depart and we go before God. And there is truly a judgment. There is a judgment in the sense that if we have stood arrogant and said, God, I don't want you. I don't need you. I live by my own power. I'm a humanist. I'm a deist. I'm an atheist. I'm an agnostic. And I reject your message. I reject your spirit. I reject your word. I reject the cross. You see, the problem is, if that's one of you, you're in a condition that you are going to die someday, sometime, and step out of that physical body. What is your answer? What hope do you have? What hope do you give your children? What hope can you write about? Can you talk just simply that you've lived a good life and now you're gone? Like a pet goldfish, hamster, or even a dog or cat. Can we simply just bury the body out in the backyard like we do the hamster, the dog, or the cat? Something about humanity, even revering the dead physical body and the need to want to prep it, take care of it, honor it, bury it, because that was the visible you for so many years of your life. You see, the Bible's revelation is we are body, soul, and spirit, the soul and spirit inseparably connected as the immaterial part, and the body being the material part. But we were one being, originally created as one living soul. So we are recognized, you know, by people who look at us and see us and know our personality and know our voice. But when we depart from that body, that physical body that is left is the person that we knew all these years. And at funerals, that's the face of the body that's dressed, lying in the casket that we look at, that people have gone by and touched, kissed, left notes with, wept over, until the casket lid was closed. Carried out, put in the wagon and taken to the gravesite and eventually lowered, and then the dirt was piled upon. Is that it? Should we just keep dancing? That's all there is. Let's just keep dancing. Come on. I think that because of the fear of death and people that don't have answers, you know, that denial, you know, party till you die, party till you, one t-shirt said party till you puke. Some people party till they die. They want to live that way to the very day they die. You only got one life. You know, Michelob teaches us to drink Michelob. You only got one life. Live it to the fullest. So Michelob's going to take care of you, right? Wrong. We know that. So I'm going to ask you tonight, what is the direct, clear, definitive, infallible, assured answer? What is the clear answer to all of this? The reason, listen, we've talked about the fear of death. There's no question about that. And how that in Christ, the Spirit of God comes in, conquers the sin nature, removes Satan's rights, implants into us the gift of eternal life, and inside of us from our spirit, soul, and even to the total construct of our consciousness. There is a witness that we are saved, that we know the Lord God, that what happens when we die instantaneously, so we go to be with the Lord. And let me say very clearly, no purgatory, no limbo here, bud. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's instantaneous. Almost an unsplittable moment occurs when there's a ripping out and a leaving. The dead don't stick around. I believe familiar spirits representing the once alive person can be in those ghost, quote, ghost houses and make visitations and appear to look like grandma. Oh, yeah. We've seen it happen, and under the authority of the living Christ commanding the delusion to be broken, there, instead of grandma, was a demon. That's another subject for another night. Number one, the fear of death, God conquers it in Christ. Number two, the existence of death. Well, from the very beginning, God said it, God warned, God gave us protection, we didn't take it. The wages of sin is death, and dying, we will die eternally from God. There's a spiritual death that instantly occurred. Our spirits, though alive inside of us, went dead to God. And a death code came in, and Satan had legal rights to operate. You can check it out in Ephesians chapter 2 if you want. And unless something is done, unless there's a change, unless there is some kind of occurrence that conquers the death code, conquers this issue. Well, the existence of death, obviously, it's here. Haiti understands that today. In the pictures that we're looking at, we see it all around. The existence of death, again, not one thing we want to talk about, but it's a thing that truly is part of our existence. Now, there's a scripture that you can look up, and that is 1 Thessalonians chapters 4 and 5. You can read there about how the dead in Christ will rise first. You can read there about how those who know Christ and have the Spirit of God and the gift of eternal life in them, they don't grieve like the rest of mankind. You'll read there about a hope, an indestructible, infallible hope because of what occurred at the cross. So once again, I'm going to share with you right now that a third principle, and I am, let me just say it this way. Number three, death as an enemy. Death as an enemy. I've mentioned this before, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can find it there. Do the research. In all of Scripture and the specifics of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 will reveal that death is an enemy of God, that death was to be conquered, destroyed. Somebody wrote a book years ago called The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. Oz Guinness, who wrote the great book, Dust of Death. And I quote him all the time when he, in reference to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, says that that was the declaration or the event that blasted apart the finality of death. That blasted apart the finality of death. You see, death is not the final issue. You see, death means that this body of ours, which is sacred, by the way, for believers in Christ, it is the temple of the Spirit of God, the naos, literally like the inner, the Holy of Holies, if you look at the Greek Septuagint. Your body is the naos, the temple of God. God dwelling there now. It is sacred. You've been purchased with a price, the blood, the person of Christ. So therefore, the Bible says, honor God with your body. And that's something that, American and Western believers need to really consider doing in all that we do with this physical body. But death is an enemy. An enemy that invaded the human race. I've seen people cry that it's not fair. I've seen people, go into depression for a year, 2 years. I've seen people that when their loved one died the very next year on the exact date of that death go into a depression year after year again, again, and again. I've seen people that had no hope about where their loved one went. I've seen where believers who knew Jesus, knew where they were going, gave great testimony before they died. The testimony of the pastor that spoke at their funeral shared that they're in heaven with Christ, but the unbelieving spouse or the unbelieving family members, they have no hope. They don't have the Spirit of God that communicates eternal life and that witnesses to what God has done in Christ. This is the amazing work of God in Christ. This is like nothing else in human history. This is beyond human physics. This is beyond human biology and all the research that goes hand in hand with it. This is beyond the studies of Thanatos. Unless you come down, and listen, you can look at all the other alternatives. But there is one unique message, one unique event, the cross. That's the fourth thing. The fourth thing tonight is the cross is the absolute unique event. At the cross, where I first saw the light, where the burden of my soul, sin, rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. Let me tell you something. Look at some of those old hymns about the cross. about death and the cross and death and the resurrection. Look at some of the old hymns. Maybe I'll bring some of those out Friday night. But at the cross where Jesus Christ was born to die. See, the predictions of his birth 700 years in advance in Isaiah and other places. The predictions of his not lying in the tomb and the resurrection, Psalm 16, 1,000 years in advance. The birth of Christ is spectacular. It is by the Spirit of God causing the conception, and the genetics of the incarnation is God in human flesh. Take a look at Jesus again. Nobody loved like him. Nobody cared for humanity like him. Look at him as he spoke. Look at the truth of his life. Look at the sinlessness of his life. Look what he went through, how they beat him. What did he do wrong that he deserved? And they nailed him to a cross. The sin-filled world, including the satanic agenda. The backdrop to this is in Revelation 12, when the full force of demonic satanic presence sought to destroy Christ. But he conquered all of it. There at the cross, crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That death was meant, Isaiah 53. To Jewish friends right now, Isaiah 53, it's not about Israel. It is about Messiah. It is about Yahweh Adonai in human flesh. It is about the death of the Savior representing and taking upon himself all of your sin, all the consequences. He died as a substitute, as a sin bearer. John the Baptist, one of the most righteous people ever in human history, when seeing Jesus, by the Spirit of God recognized him and cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Tonight, you can have the totality of your sin taken away. The wages of sin, the death and the hell and the separation eternally from God, taken away. God provided in Christ, in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, in that message is a power that upon receiving Jesus Christ into your life, God's love comes in, God's forgiveness comes in, the gift of righteousness comes in, the gift of eternal life comes in. You come to know God immediately. You come to be washed and cleansed and renewed. You come to find that Jesus conquers sin and its guilt, all of it, the sin code, the death code, Satan's rights, and hell. Hell's mouth is now shut concerning you because of Jesus Christ. Listen, come back Friday night, 6 p.m. We'd like to talk to you about indestructible immortality in this subject. Don't forget the folks in Haiti. Pray for them. Send something if you can. Check out shatterthedarkness.net. This is Russ Dizdar saying, we love you. God loves you. God wants you. And God bless you tonight.